You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Mark, thanks so much for joining Mornings on the Mall this morning.
How are you, Vince? Mary?
Good morning.
Excellent, sir. I want to start by talking about, we talk about fake news all the time. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of just things that are out there that are wrong, incorrect, not based in fact. But your book is just a item after item after item, just facts about the American founding and how we got here philosophically. Tell people about that.
Well, you know what I try to do? I try and step back from all this and try and put it in some kind of perspective, because there's a lot of insanity going on. And I feel like, and a lot of our listeners feel like, the country's unraveling. Things are happening that are out of our control, and they're right. And there's a reason for that. The way the country was founded, with the consent of the governed and the focus on the individual and liberty and unalienable rights, we're unmoored from that now, and there's a reason for it, and I want to explain it in the book, and I do. First of all, you were talking earlier. Where do these principles come from? Well, the Declaration of Independence tells us, laws of nature, nature's God. Does that mean you need to be really, really religious? No, that's not what they meant. What they meant is there are eternal truths, right and wrong, good and evil, a moral order. If you live in Washington, you have them. If you live in Paris, you have them. Doesn't mean you follow them. But these are universal rights. They don't come from man and they don't come from government. On the other hand, we have this movement, this imported German idealism, this progressivism. This is a recent type of event. It's a couple of hundred years old. I explain the philosophers who were behind it, the thinkers and the progressive era who gave it to us. And in the last 100, 120 years, this is what our government has transitioned into. More and more centralization, less and less constitutionalism, an attack on separation of powers, and even our view of liberty. When you look at Bernie Sanders, how does he define liberty? Through free college, free health care. In other words, you can only, they say, self-realize through government. Now, you and I don't have that view. We have the view of the ancients, which is there are certain areas of life where we're to be left alone. The government has no business. And if the government is to be involved and intervene, it's not to dominate us and coerce us and force us. It is so there's a civil society where we have some order, and we have moved completely away from that. So I tell people all the time, if you ignore the academics and you ignore the intellectuals, then you're going to lose your country and you're going to lose your liberty, because these are the people who determine the future. Like it or not, this progressivism that we're living under now, this is not Americanism. So I go back to define what is Americanism beyond the surface level stuff that we always talk about. Where does it come from? Why were the founders taken by this? Why didn't the founders become the tyrants that you saw after the French Revolution? They rejected all that. And yet it's under attack. And then as you go through chapter after chapter, you'll see that private property rights, individual liberty, republicanism, little r republicanism, and so forth, they're intertwined. Without one, you really can't have the other. And then I explain again on progressivism. Look at Obamacare. The Democrats support Obamacare even though they know people are suffering under it, even though they know people can't afford it. So they want to talk about Medicaid all the time. The vast majority of Americans aren't on Medicaid. Most of us are not on Medicaid. So why do they want to keep talking about Medicaid? Because they can't justify what's happening to the cost of policies and deductibles and so forth. And what's their answer? Their answer is to put all of us on Medicaid or to put all of us on Medicare. So no matter how much human experience there is with the failure of progressivism, they continue to push it because it's an ideology. And so that's the purpose of the book, to explain why Americanism is a great thing and why progressivism is a dark, dangerous thing. One last thing, and I appreciate you letting me speak, and it's this. We are constantly listening to this class warfare stuff that comes from Rousseau and Hegel and Marx, and you'll learn a lot more about them in this book. Every time, the rich versus the poor. What does healthcare have to do with the rich versus the poor? It has nothing to do with it. You look at how we live today. Really, step back. The things we have as a result of the Industrial Revolution. Almost every home in this country, you flick a switch, you have electricity. You turn on the faucet, you have clean water. There's a way to get rid of sewage without any problems whatsoever. Almost every person in this country can walk into a grocery store and buy meats and fish and wine and cheeses from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. Our poorest person, in many cases, lives better than kings and queens lived 200 years ago. This is a remarkable phenomenon. We don't even step back and appreciate it. Instead, it is constantly under attack. Prosperity is under attack. Capitalism is under attack. Private property rights. So I try to explain what it is behind all this that causes this really horrific phenomenon, in my view.
Mark, do you think President Trump understands Americanism? We had Condoleezza Rice, who came out and said that he gets it. He understands what it means. Do you agree with that?
He doesn't have to understand it from an intellectual perspective. He understands it instinctively in many respects. And the reason he's under attack the way he's under attack, in my view, is the Republic is under attack. That's why they're attacking him. They're trying to undo the last election. They attack the Electoral College. They come up with this phony Russia thing, which is why I fight these people every night on the radio. It's because he's not one of them. And his focus on regulations, his focus on the courts, that alone is an attack on this progressive federal leviathan. They created this massive fourth estate, this administrative state, with 2 million employees, and they tell us these are the experts and these are the professionals who are going to rule our lives. How are they experts and professionals? Mm-hmm. They're in the civil service. Some of them are. They have a public sector union. Some are there because of seniority. Some are there because of affirmative action. They're no more expert than the rest of us. So what Trump is doing is he's undoing a lot of these regulations. They rule by regulation. What else is he doing? He's trying to transform the courts. Obama appointed 40% of the federal judiciary, 40%. The progressives need the permanent government, the bureaucracy, and the judiciary, which I've written about for years, because they overcome any electoral results, the will of the people. So you'll hear people like Bernie Sanders say, we need free college, we need free this. But what do they wind up doing? They wrap their centralization propaganda in this notion of for the people, we the people, as they steal our liberty, and they steal our property, and they steal our rights. And this is typical of the hard left. And they basically believe, and they all write this, that the individual can really only fully fulfill him or herself through the state. And the state is constantly seeking to perfect itself. And Hegel talks about the final end. That's what he calls it, the final end, where we have this paradise. Marx talks about it, too. We'll have this situation where it'll be so sweet and pure, we won't need government anymore. Now, how many people ordered in the name of that idea?
Yeah. When you have two very divergent philosophies, you get two very different countries, yeah. For sure. Mark Levin, I hate that we're out of time with you, but we are. You can get Mark Levin's new book, Rediscovering Americanism, in like literally every place you can find a book. And he'll be having a book signing at Tyson's Corners, Barnes & Noble on July 8th, next Saturday.
Starting at 10 a.m. And from what I know of Mark Levin's book signings, you better get there early to get in line, because the line will be long. He is a very, very popular man. Mark, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with the book.
Well, you two are great. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.